Good morning. I'm so glad that you are here and everyone that is online, okay, those who are in the other hall, okay, welcome to Every Nation Church Penang, all right? Christmas is here. Yes? Yes, I'm not so excited, huh? Okay, Merry Christmas! You know, you'll be wishing one another Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, and after that, Happy New Year, Happy New Year, Happy New Year, until Chinese New Year, okay, praise the Lord. Okay, now, with that, okay, as Christmas is here, which means giving us, okay, another opportunity, okay, to share and to showcase God's goodness, okay, upon us with our family and friends. Amen? All right. Now, so this morning we want to do a new series, Christmas, Rediscovering Christmas. We're going to look at what written by the gospel writers, okay, Mark, Luke, John, okay, the four gospel writers. So as we look at that, we want to rediscover, okay, how God became man, okay, as we go along, okay, how Jesus was born. Now, when we look at the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, okay, it's very interesting, okay, the way that they have write the gospel, okay, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today I'm going to talk about how Matthew write it, all right? And then next week, you're going to hear from AJ. AJ is going to look at the lens of the gospel called Luke, all right? And then after that, Max will come. He will look at how the gospel of John look at Christmas, all right? So that is the way that we're going to go. Now, the interesting part is there that Mark did not write the account of Jesus born as a baby. Mark is just action, right? He just go into action pack. If you turn the book of Mark, it's very interesting because the moment he begins is John the Baptist. Okay, then Jesus water baptized. John baptized Jesus. Then all out is, after that is Satan tempted Jesus. Then after you see Jesus already called disciples, cast out demons, heal the sick, okay, raise the dead, the lame walk, the blind see, and so on. So Mark is a man of action. So he recorded everything that Jesus did. Unlike, okay, Matthew, Luke, and John. All right, now. So do you know how people celebrate Christmas in those days compared to today? All right, so the way people celebrate Christmas today is totally different from the first Christmas. True? All right, now. By saying so, today our Christmas is such that it's very secularized and consumerized. And you start eating rice. Okay, now. Now, what do I say though? People enjoy, when it comes to Christmas or end of the year, happy holiday. Yes, we go shopping, our December month is gift. Some are frosty snowmen, some is Santa Claus. Okay, and then among the group people, young children are the most happy, are the most happiest because they're going to receive toys, a party, and so on. The one that is not so happy are the adults because they're going to spend and spend and spend. No. I think people enjoy shopping. But at the same time, you will have barbecue here, barbecue there. You know, I don't know about this coming season whether there will be barbecue here, barbecue there or not. Now, many people, even when they celebrate that or having barbecue, they don't even know why they do that. You know, I happen to... I was in Sungai Era that time, and people would just barbecue left, barbecue right. You know, sometimes I just like, wow, what are you celebrating? Don't know. This end of the year, we just celebrate because they don't even know, okay, why Christmas and so on. Okay, malls, lights, decos, and so on. Okay, sales, offers, discount, and chop chop is coming. Okay. Now, today I want to talk about, okay, the Messiah, okay, rediscovering Christmas Messiah. I do not know whether you know the meaning of Messiah. So each time when we say Jesus Christ, what does that mean? Okay, Jesus means, okay, if you go back to the root word, is Yahweh or Yeshua, save. Okay, Jesus. Messiah means the anointed one. All right, so when they meet Jesus, wow, that is Messiah, the anointed one. But many times when we come to find something so delicious, we have a friend, very dear friend in Philippines, whenever he comes to Penang and eat some of the food that he loves so much, anointed. That's what he means, all right? Because he met the Messiah, all right now. Anyway, the original audience or the first Christmas, they did not celebrate Christmas like us. They don't. Many of them not even know, okay, that Jesus is coming. Okay, many. All right, they go on with their life, their own life as well. All right, with that until the star shone, okay, from the sky. All right, so God has to make his coming spectacular. It's not a quiet coming. The angels will sing in the heavenlies, and until there's a couple that arrive in the city called Bethlehem. And they have no room. Joseph and Mary has no place, okay, for the child to be born. So today we're going to explore Matthew chapter 1 and look at the author of the Gospel of Matthew himself, all right, write, okay, about the birth of Jesus Christ. How many of you know that occupation of Matthew? He was a CEO of the, okay, now, he was a tax collector. So he, in such a way that he's meticulous in taking time to explain, okay, the birth of Jesus Christ. All right. Likewise, when it comes to Luke was a physician. So he will write, okay, at his angle of how Jesus was born, okay, as a virgin. Now, so with that, he'll take time to write and explain the Messiahship through the lens of the Old Testament prophecies. So Matthew has a way, because his audience were the Jew. So he relate a lot of the Old Testament prophecies and scripture, okay, to encourage, okay, the Jewish Christians. All right, so let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, that says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and willing to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." All right, so unwilling to do so. But in verse 20, "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David,'" take note of this, "'son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Let's pray. Father, I commit all of us into your hands, whether here or online or in the other community hall or the other hall. Father, today I commit all of us into your hands, even as we begin this series of rediscovering Christmas. Help us, O God, to see and see in the lens of our gospel writers how Jesus came, okay, and born, okay, to save each and every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say, amen. All right. So the big question will be, what is Christmas according to Matthew? Okay, as we look at, okay, the person called the Messiah. I have three elements that we want to look at as we capture Matthew chapter 1. All right. The first one, Christmas is knowing God like us. What does that mean? I'm going to unpack. "And you shall call his name Jesus, the Son of David." What do I mean? Okay, this God that we worship, that we love, okay, choose to be born as a man like us. So in other words, Matthew is trying to present Jesus came, he's God, but he born like us. He born as a man, okay, to live among us. John said that the beginning was the Word became flesh. God chose to be among us, okay, to live like one of us, all right, to, okay, as a human, okay, be like us. So when we look at the Christ genealogy, when you look at Matthew chapter 1, it's very interesting. Now, how many of you, when you come to know Christ, the one who led you to Christ say, "Hey, brother, you read Matthew." How many of you have this encounter with me, oh God, all right? So most of us have been asked to read book of John, read a book of Matthew, all right? Seldom we are asked to read the book of Matthew, okay, but read other gospel. Why? Because the gospel of Matthew begins with genealogy. How many of you, okay, love genealogy? How many of you, when you are asked to be interviewed and asked to introduce yourself, you will say that, "My name is Jonathan, by the other name is Lim, and people call me GP." All right, okay. Then there's a, "I am the son of, so my father's name is this, my grandfather's name is this, my great-grandfather's name is this, my mother's name is this, my mother's mother's name is this." How many of you will go to an interview like this? How many of you will stand in front and introduce yourself so that people will hear you? Friends, I believe that you will not, okay? You will think of how to say that you will impact, okay, the people that you are, okay, talking to, or you are, okay, and try to introduce yourself. But the Gospel of Matthew begins with a genealogy. What a way to introduce, okay, the book of Matthew. Why? Why is that so? Mintian was asking me, he said, he was reading. I said, why are you reading? I'm reading Matthew. And he was reading all the names, son. I was saying, oh, why Jesus, why Gospel, okay, wrote it that way? Let me say that family generation, okay, or genealogy is a big thing for the Jew. When you read the Bible, this will be the account of so-and-so, Joshua, la, David, la, King Solomon. So every of those chapters that you read, okay, it describes the family. Sometimes we just skip, okay, all these names, not even know how to pronounce, we just skip them. Let me tell you once again that family generation or genealogy are very important and is very big thing for, okay, the Jewish, okay, culture and custom. So do you know that when Matthew wrote Matthew, he wasn't writing to you. Hello. He was writing to the believers, the Jews, the Christian Jews, okay, the one that believed Jesus. He's writing to them. So he's writing to tell them, this is Jesus, this is our Messiah. He's writing, okay, to each and everyone to explain to them. All right, it's like Jesus is trying to use the lenses of the Old Testament prophets, okay, to write in such a way that to show the existence or the origin of who Jesus is. All right? Have you been a place where you are lost when you are young? Then you're looking for... Then people who found you, what would they ask you? First, he's asking you, what is your name? Right? After that, he say, what's your father? Who's your father? Correct? Especially when you come from some kampong somewhere. Your father, what's your father's name? Correct? Now, they may not ask, what's your mother's name? But they ask, what's your father's name? What's your surname? Because that's how they're going to trace you. Okay? And bring back to you to the family. Okay? This is what exactly took place. Right? It's like, boy, what's your name? Now, when you read that, I recall of a moment that I met a Messianic Jew, which means a Jew that had come to know Jesus. All right. So he told of this account that was, wow, I didn't know that. All right. So he says that he growing up, being a Jew, he was forbid to read other people's holy book. He's talking about our Bible. All right. So he's forbidden, okay, to read the non-Jew holy book. But he received one. So he said, this is other people's holy book. I must not destroy it. I must not throw away. I must also take care of, because this is a holy book. So he kept it for years. So when he grew to an older age, okay, in studying varsities and all those, he met friends who are Christians. And he was always curious why his friend always talking about his life was being touched by Jesus, how his life was being transformed. And then all of them are talking about Jesus. And this is all written in the holy book called Bible. So with that, he was so curious, he went back and searched for the book, the holy book, and he started reading. You know what he said? This is the story of my family. When he started reading, you know the Gideon blue, right? He started reading, this is the story of my family. Why am I forbidden to read the story of my family? This is all my family. No, he finished reading the book on the same day, and then his life was transformed. This is Jesus, the Messiah, who came, okay, to save, okay, my family. Wow. When I hear that, this is revelation to him, man, when he discover, okay, the word of God. But the question still lies, why the genealogy, the theological theme for the book of Matthew is about the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, all right? So Matthew gave us the lineage of Jesus to Joseph, and then to the throne of David and to Abraham. Okay, this is important to the Jewish Christian, because they need to know, okay, why? Why through this lineage? They need to trace Jesus right, okay, to that he is the descendants of David, Jesus, the son of David. trace back. All right? Now I'll show you a few more things. Now, if it's not true, what happened? All right? The Jewish opponents or the opposition could have demonstrated that Jesus was not. But they couldn't. All right? So now, that is interesting how Matthew wrote it. Now, each one of them, when you read in Matthew chapter 1, you can turn to your book of Matthew chapter 1. As you read them, right, did I put it up here? Okay, this is the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. He didn't write the son of Joseph. He said the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then you continue to read the son of, the father of, the father of, the father of. So as you continue to read, okay, Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. So when you go down to verse 15, it's still about the father of. When you come to verse 16, Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. What should be the sequence after that? If you follow the rhythm, it will be Jacob, the father of Joseph, and Joseph, the father of Jesus. But it wasn't like that. All right? So when you come to verse 16, the rhythm is broken. Okay? There is Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. What does that tell us? Okay, Jesus was the legal son of Joseph, but not the blood son of Joseph. Joseph did not contribute any of the blood of Jesus, but he did contribute his legal standing as a descendant of the royal line to Jesus, the son of David. All right, so Jesus was born, okay, through Mary, the husband, okay, Joseph and Mary, okay, husband of Mary, whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. Can you see that? Now, so as we read verse 18 and 19, okay, that says that the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they come together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, we got to understand this because this is about the virgin birth of Jesus, okay? Before they came together, she was found to be with child. So, in other words, before, okay, they come together means what? To have sexual intimacy, all right? That's what it means. Now, with that, right, we've got to understand what it means when in the Jewish custom, what it means by betrothed. Now, let me share this with you. Okay, there are three steps: engagement, betrothal, and marriage. Okay, in their custom. Today, I do not know. I think we don't follow. We don't follow. So, which means engagement for their culture are often arranged marriage. Okay, at a very young age. How many of you want to do so? No, you're Jesselyn. Okay. So their engagement is such arranged marriage. Today, when we hear about arranged marriage, wow, you still practice arranged marriage. Okay, remember we talked to one couple, right? Okay, now, maybe he's watching right now. Now, when it comes to betrothal, this makes the engagement of what the parents have arranged became official and binding. That means when that is agreed, they are paper sign. All right? They are considered husband and wife. But what's the difference? Okay, they are given a year period, okay, with that to prepare themselves. Anyone choose to avoid that, they become a divorcee. All right? That's what it means. Because betrothal, the culture is as such. All right? Now, so unlike today, all right, which means when both boy and girl say, oh, I become your boyfriend, I become your girlfriend, hey, you know. Then after that, when there's some misunderstanding, fight with one another, one go back, cry, one don't talk, this one don't talk, cry. Then after that, depress there. Then after that, sorry, don't break off. That's it. But in their culture, wasn't like this. It's a legal binding. The husband and wife, when they choose to avoid that, that means that 1 year they're not supposed to meet one another in that sense. They're supposed to go home to their various place and prepare themselves for 1 year to get married. Alright? So in other words, even it's legal binding, there's no sexual intimacy. Alright? They understand? Okay, so with that, if in any case, if the husband passed away, the wife become a virgin widow. That's what it means. All right? Now, so in any case, if they were to void that, they have to sign the paper. So in this case, when the Bible recorded, okay, that before they come together, she was found with child. That means during the betrothal period. Okay, that's what it means. So that one year period. So with that, it's very serious, okay, in that scenario. So in other words, that's why when we read, Joseph have a position whether to void that, I mean, not void that, cancel that. That means become a shame, okay, to both party and so on. Okay, but Bible recorded that he was a just man. He was a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolve to divorce her quietly. This is the choices that they have. But okay, God appear or angel appear to Joseph. All right, now, but on Mary's side, okay, when we look at Luke, okay, Mary was saying when angel appeared to Mary, Mary said, "How can this be? I do not know a man." So in the Bible, the word "know" is different, huh? The word "know" is when they get married. So when for us today, oh, I know this girl, I know this man. Oh, you careful when you say the word "know" because it carry a different meaning when you speak to those from the Jewish custom. All right, now let's move on. Huh? Now with that, the Bible is recording what it means by the virgin birth, and that virgin birth is only possible with God. All right, it's not a human doing. Right, ever since fall of Adam, sin entered the world. So everyone is born in sin. Okay, that's where, okay, in that account that when Mary had Jesus, when Jesus was born, with that reading of the genealogy is very important. So by reading, so you say that when it comes to Joseph, father of, it's not written. Okay, but husband of Mary, where Jesus was born. Okay, so Jesus was born sinless, okay, so that he can redeem each and every one of us. Had he not been, then he would not become the pure and sinless lamb to be sacrificed at the cross for each and every one of us. This Christmas, Jesus was born as a man like you and I, that he go through as a human, okay, and suffered, okay, as a human, yet without sin, so that he became, okay, the sinless Lamb of God, okay, to go to the cross. All right. The second one, Christmas is knowing God saved us. So when, and you shall call his name Jesus, the Messiah. So Jesus, again, that name, okay, is Yeshua or Yahweh saved. All right, now let's read verse 20 to 21. But as he considered this thing, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David," okay, because he's also from the same line, "do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sin." So with that, Joseph, of course, have to take that route, whether to divorce Mary or not. Angel appeared to Joseph, okay, explain to him. So when he woke up, okay, let's go. Let's get married. All right. Now, so do you know, with that saying, the angel appeared to Joseph that says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." Now, I do not know what is your Christmas. What are you anticipating for your Christmas gift this year? We just finished the series on All That Matters. Instead of getting, think about giving. All right? Because we can train up our child to think, "Oh, Christmas. Okay, what do you want? What do you want for Christmas?" What about the other way? Son or daughters, what would you like to give to others for Christmas? Then our life will grow up, having to give to others than just to get. All right? Now, do you know the best gift during Christmas is the forgiveness of sin? Christmas, verse 21, he will save his people from sin. The greatest gift that all of us can receive during Christmas is the forgiveness of sin. God sent his best gift, his best possession, to each and every one of us, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. If it's not so, then we are all damned or damnation, okay, to hell. So for this reason, God sent the Messiah. For this reason, God sent Jesus, the Savior of the world. And you call his name Jesus. Amen. Now, what do you mean by when Jesus came to save his people from their sin? I want to draw your attention to Colossians. I think this one best described. And it says that, and you were dead in your trespass. All of us, if it's not of Jesus born, sinless, okay, and to save the sins of the world, we are in this condition. You were dead in your trespasses. What does that mean? That means we already crossed the line of being disobedient. So when you cross the line of disobedience, what's the punishment? Dead. I hear a story from one of our leaders that when they were young, they were walking and they wanted to take a shortcut, not knowing there was a sign that says no trespassers. So being young and naive, they crossed that line. They thought it was the shortest cut, so they crossed that line, you know, and they got caught. And that security about to shoot them, you know. Their life supposed to end that day because they trespassed. That's what it means. All right? You were dead. The Bible says you were dead in your trespasses, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So it's clearly written that all of us were dead because of the trespasses. We already in this sinless, in this sin life, all right, we are disobedient. We are all in debt, hopeless, doomed for hell, which also means that we have no whatever way, okay, to pay that debt. Okay? I don't know whether you come to a place where you face death so near, when a gun is pointed. So for that story I told you, real story, yeah, they cross the line, not even they know. Many of us disobey, not even we know. Naive. And a gun is pointed, okay, to shoot at them. Here in this story says that someone paid that debt. And it's none other than Jesus. And he paid it full. Tara hutang. Not even 1 cent. Paid it full. How many of you like to go and redeem something and then they say, oh, you still have to pay 1 ringgit? It's supposed to be given to you, but when you reach there, oh, you still have to pay this. And you don't have that amount of money to pay, so. Or somebody had left a property for you, but when you go and redeem, wow, you have to pay so much taxes in order to redeem that. You know, we have our house helper, the maid, when she wants to send money home. When they send money home, when the family member is going to receive, still have to deduct the amount that was given. Can you see? So sometimes when we send, so we also have to include, okay, the taxes that they or family got to pay because when they receive, all right? Jesus paid it full. Man was once with God. They lost it. Jesus came with his own life to buy it back, to redeem us. How many of you heard this story before? The story of the boy who lost his boat. He made a boat. He was so happy. He take that boat to the river and let it sail. Because when sailing, he tied a string so that he won't lose it. So as he go along, the string becomes so strong and the string was broken. And he tried to chase to save the boat, but couldn't save the boat. The boat was gone. He was so sad. He went tried to search and bring back the boat, but couldn't. Came back home sadly. But after a few days, he going back home. And he saw a store. And in that store, he saw the boat. And said, "That's mine." So he went in, "Sir, can I have my boat?" What did the man say? The storekeeper said, "No, it's not yours. Somebody just brought in. If you want, you got to pay." How much? $100. He was so sad, he went back home, break his piggy bank, counted $100. So he went back to the shop, "Sir, this is my $100. "Yes, you can have the boat." And he bring back the boat back, put in his arm. "Now you are mine. Twice I bought you." What's the moral story? We were once gone. Then we are lost due to disobedience. The string was broken. And the same man who created us have to come back and redeem us back. This Christmas, know that Jesus came, okay, to save you and me. The story of redemption. Number three, Christmas is knowing God with us, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Okay, I'm going to end very soon. All right, verse 22. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. So the Gospel of Matthew probably written in about 70, 80. So it's about like 40 years have already passed, okay, in that sense, after Jesus' resurrection. So when Matthew was writing this, he's writing to the persecuted Christian as well, the persecuted Jew, okay, in comforting them that, "Hey, hello, this Messiah that we are believing and that I'm presenting to you, he said this, his name is Emmanuel." You know, for us, right, when we say this Emmanuel, it's not our language. We won't understand much. There's a bracket that says, which means God with us. So for them, this is very real, you know. God with us. Emmanuel. Our God is with us. It's with us every day, every moment. And the word really mean to them. When people call your name has a meaning. Maybe sometimes it just pass us, right? Okay. My name is Ping. Ping means of a good character. So when you know their name, then you thinking about whether you want to live up to your name or not. Deborah means judge. So she said, "I'm a judge." When she was much younger, she would go, "I'm a judge. Okay, you do this, you do that. All right, judge." So here, God said, "My name is Emmanuel. I came as a man like you. I'm God, but I came as a man like you to suffer together with you, to go to the cross. I came to save you. I am God Emmanuel." So with that, right, Jesus is saying that I came to die for you. You're worth it all. Alright? So as you go, even at the end, when Matthew ends, okay, the gospel writing, he says, "Go therefore and make all disciples," teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, "and behold, I am Emmanuel." We always read, "I am with you always," but in their language, "I am Emmanuel. Wherever you go, go make disciples of all nations. I am Emmanuel." Can you see? Because that book, that gospel was written to the audience who is the Jewish believer. Yeah, good amen. All right. So with that, how we take home from here? How many of us will reflect this Christmas when you think about your life? When you think about when you are sick, was Jesus there? Yes. Can I push it back already? Okay. Was Jesus there? Yes. Jesus was with you in that hospital, in that ICU. Jesus was there because he said, "I am with you." When you feel alone, God is saying, "I am with you always, always, okay, always. I am with you." When you feel that you are unwanted, Jesus is saying, "I love you. That's why I came. I came to be with you." When you think you are very weak, Jesus say what? "Let the weak say, I am strong." So if you're here today, and you're online or in any other place, if you feel that no one is with you or no one cares, whatever you are going through, God cares. Jesus cares. Jesus saves. Amen. So this Christmas, once again, Jesus is saying, I came as a man like you. I came to save you from sin and death, and I am God, Emmanuel. All right? Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord. Amen. So with that, this last verse, so when Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord says. He took his wife, knew her not, that means no sex, until she had given birth to a son, and his name is called Jesus. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonderful God. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands. I give thanks for you came and made Christmas so special for us. For first Christmas, no one who have ever known in their daily life, doing their own things every day, in and out, whether with direction or aimlessly, Father, you make it happen. You make that happen for Jesus to come in the fullness of time that Jesus was born. Father, today as we look at you as the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Jesus saved. Christ is also the other word for Messiah, the anointed one. And we are called, whoever believe in Jesus, we are called Christian. So the word Christ means the anointed one. Christian will be the little anointed one, not the annoying one. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands. Today, let it be that this season, or whenever the season of Christmas, let us have this perspective and reflect on our life that Jesus came. Although he's God, he came as a man like us that suffered through everything, every temptation that any human, have gone through. Father, you came to save us. Jesus came to save us. And you came and say, I am God, Emmanuel. I commit all of us into your hands, knowing that we always knowing that you are with us always. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And all those who have not come to know who Jesus is, this Christmas, let be a Christmas that you come to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you, to give your life to Jesus. You know, when time when you are lost, a time when you do not know what to do, a time when you are so sick, a time when you felt unwanted or unloved, let me say that and let me encourage you that Jesus is there for you. I want to invite you to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you really want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, pray this prayer, with me. Shall we all close our eyes and bow our heads? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Pray this prayer with me. Thank you, Lord. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message today. Right now, I admit that I am a sinner. And now I choose to believe that Jesus came to die on the cross, shed his blood, wash my sin. He died, buried, third day he rose again. I now confess my sin before you and men. I open up my heart to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have prayed that prayer, write to us, write to me, because we want to help you grow strong. Amen. All right. So this is the beginning of our new series, Rediscovering Christmas. All right. And I'm going to believe and pray for you that this Christmas will come so meaningful, for you. Amen. God bless you.